As we come to John chapter 9, it's the entire chapter, so I'm not going to read all the chapter to you. We're going to look at some of the verses because it's a wonderful event in the life of Jesus as the disciples are they're learning about the Father, they're learning about the Son and the Holy Spirit. I mean, they're being discipled. They are the church. They are the church. This is the beginning of the New Testament church. So Jesus is discipling these men and women to lead in the near future. They didn't realize how close it was for them, but it was very close. But follow along in the story, because you and I, like the disciples, have many opportunities in our daily life to introduce someone to Jesus. We can do that. Just introduce someone to Jesus. This is the story of the blind man, which was blind from birth, there in verse 1. And verse 2, and his disciples, and let's start with verse 1. And Jesus passed by. That's exciting, and it's heartbreaking. That means Jesus came, he's now on his way, he's leaving. He passed by, it's past tense. We don't want that to happen. Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. This is Jesus making this observation about the blind man. And his disciples, the church. Listen, we have many opportunities every day as the church to share the gospel with someone. Just tell them about Jesus. Introduce them to Jesus. Sometimes we think, boy, that could be really hard. I wasn't too long ago, I just handed a friend of mine one of the gospel tracts. We were on the job, so I didn't take time to use someone else's time that I was being paid for. I just handed it to him. I said, get time, read it. He come back to work. It was on Friday. He come back to work on a Monday, and he said, guess what? I said, what? He said, I got saved Saturday. He said, I went to a revival and I got saved. He said, I went back Sunday and he said, my wife got saved. Wow. I'm telling you, introducing people to Jesus, it's exciting. It's exciting for the church. You know, we get a lot of obstacles in the way. But let me tell you something. Exercise your freedom. Many laid down their life for that freedom. We need to exercise our freedom. Tell someone about Jesus, what he's done for you. Listen, your testimony is powerful. No one can dispute your testimony. It's your personal walk with Jesus Christ, the Father and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful to know? But these men, now you picture this. They're walking along, and Jesus says, there's a blind man that was blind from birth. So he already knows the situation. You know what the disciples, I call them the church. The disciples ask him, say, Master, get this. Who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Oh my goodness. The disciples are walking with Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. And you know what they're worried about? If we could find out something good on these two people right here, we could go back to work Monday and get in that break room. Oh, we'd have a time telling them stories. How sinful he is. We could just tell, we could go down on the riverbanks and catch up with some of the boys, and we could just tell the stories. Yeah, oh, so-and-so. You didn't know it, but he'd been robbing banks all this time. He is an old sinner. And you could just hear the story. You know what they were worried about? Who sinned? They're walking with the Son of God. And it's a great opportunity to introduce this blind man to the Messiah. Emmanuel. Savior. Lily of the valley. The bright and morning star. But Lord, isn't it important that we know what the sin is? No, it's not. What's important is that the church is introducing the neighborhood to Jesus. What an opportunity. What an opportunity for them to stand forth and say, listen, I don't know your name. I know you've been blind from birth. But I know a man who can take away all your sins. I know a man that can heal you. I know a man that can give you life everlasting for an eternity. For an eternity. Put it in our minds. Eternity. It's not something that's going to be temporary. It's an eternity. The last time I was here, I shared with you that my 2-year-old granddaughter had passed away. Do you know when I get to heaven? You know who's going to get there first? It's eternity. There is no beginning. We're both going to be there in eternity when I get there. No beginning. It's eternal. That's why Jesus has no beginning. He has no end. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's it. He's all. He's everything. And the disciples want to know who sinned. Lord, tell us just, you know, which one of them did it? Which one of these two? No. He said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. Here's what he wanted to do. He wants the blind man. He's going to perform a miracle for the blind man, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Can you imagine the next person we introduce to Jesus? The Father. Jesus is going to manifest the works of his Father in that person. You're going to see the works of God. You want to see God at work? Introduce someone to Jesus. That's what he said. If you want to see God at work, introduce this blind man to Jesus, because I'm going to manifest the works of the Father. You want to see what God can do? You want to see what he can do to a person in their life? How he can change their life? How he can take their old stony heart and make it one that's absolutely precious in his sight? That's Jesus and what he wants to do in our world today. I want to make the works of my Father manifest in him. You want to see God at work? I do. The next person you see, introduce them to Jesus. See what God can do. Isn't that exciting? Listen, that's who we are as a church. The church that Jesus spoke to Peter, and he said, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Neither will COVID, neither will RSV, or any other virus that comes along. Not even hell can prevent the church from marching forward until Jesus calls the church home. That's when we quit. That's when we give it up. That's when we say, Lord, I've had enough. I'm done. No, he's going to call us home. We live in an exciting time. We live in a country I don't understand. I can't imagine living in a country where I have to hide to worship. Or if I proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, I could be put in jail or even killed, martyred. But if that's it, that's it. I was in Haiti. It was really difficult to go door-to-door visits because a lot of people had walls around their homes. You had to go out and stand at the gate and knock till someone from the house could hear you, and they'd come talk to you, and they might open the gate for you. They may not. That was their church. Falling asleep. So he goes back out, comes back, and they're asleep again. And he goes out a third time, and he comes back. They were asleep. He said, sleep on, for the hour is at hand. They missed the urgency of the hour. We live in an hour that's urgent. It's urgent that we introduce our friends to Jesus. It's urgent that we minister to the needs of people. It is urgent if we get the Word of God proclaimed to our friends, to our family. It's urgency. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's urgent. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, and you know that you have never professed Christ to be your Lord and Savior, there's urgency about it. Today is the day of salvation. There's not another day you need to put it off and proclaim that that will be your day. Today, this day, this very moment, right now, there's urgency in what God is working and doing in your life. In Revelation 12 and 10, he says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Right now, now is come salvation. Today. Today is it. Oh, I hope you catch the urgency of what God is doing in our life. Matthew 24 says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. That's the urgency of the church and the business and the will of the Father that's before us. We must approach it with urgency. We must approach it as now. The disciples were witnessing Jesus and the interaction between the blind man. Listen to the story as it is spoken by John. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. That should have got the whole crowd excited. Should have had them standing on their feet applauding that this blind man that had been blind from birth, now he's of age, he's about at least 20 years old, maybe older. He's been blind for 20 years. Listen, some people don't have 20 years left for us to get to them. It's urgent that they hear the gospel today. The lame man that was by the pool of Bethesda, 38 years and no man would help him to the pool. Some people don't have 38 years. It's urgent that we respond now. We do it now. God's work is at hand right now. And he said, he was told to go. Do you know how he got there? There's nothing recorded about anyone taking him by the hand and leading him to the pool. There's no one mentioned of the disciples saying, oh, let me take him over to the pool. He's blind. He needs a little help. No one mentioned that because he's blind, you know, they have a street that he can walk on that's approved for, you know, people who have seeing disabilities. And we have that in Somersville. I don't know what they all mean. Because I just know that the sidewalks are and the corners are marked. They have the little pads. Some of you may know what those are. The little pads that there has little configurations on it. And they step on it, they know where they are. No one said, let me take him by the hand. This blind man was told by Jesus, commanded by the Son of God, to go to the pool of Siloam and wash the clay from his eyes. He did it by faith. Every step. I don't know how many times he had fallen down. I don't know how many times he had to get back up. I don't know what was in his way on the way. I don't even know if he knew north, south, east, and west. No directions. Jesus said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And by faith, he took every step to the pool. He would fall, but he'd get back up. Kind of like football players. You know, I like to watch it, but sometimes some guys, they get hit hard. And they get knocked down. Herschel Walker. Emmett Smith. Those are record holders. I think Emmett, he's had 9 or 10 miles in yard rushing. That's just one of his records. Do you know that he was knocked down every 4.2 miles and got back, every 4.2 yards and got back up till he finished the 10 miles of record yardage that he gained? Somebody knocked me down that hard, I might stay down just for safety. No, that man, he would get back up. He said, if I can just get to the pool of Siloam, I don't know what's going to happen, but I got to go. I can't see where I'm going because the Word of God tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the things not seen. He couldn't even see the pool. He couldn't even see the Jesus that had spoke to him. He didn't know if he, you know, if he was tall or if he was just one of those athletic looking men. But he knew the voice. And the command was to go and to wash in the pool of Siloam. So he began his journey of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's a tough walk. But we're commanded to walk by faith, not by sight. And he began his journey. And as he finished his journey, he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Woo, I can hear him shouting. He, for the first time, he opens his eyes and he sees the snow-covered mountains. Well, if he was in West Virginia, he may have, I don't know where he was. But for the first time, he can see the clouds in the sky. And all the time he's listened to birds singing and chirping, he can look up in a tree and see one. For the first time, he laid his eyes on another human being. And maybe even looked at his reflection in the water for just a little while. I don't know what all he was doing, but he said, I come seeing. He said, I came. You know what happened? The neighbors. See, the neighbors had not been introduced to this Jesus. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, is like him. But he said, I am he. That was his first testimony. I'm the one. I'm the one, and therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? And this is his testimony. He answered and said to them, a man that is called Jesus. Jesus. A name that's above every name. That can calm the stormy waters. Can speak to the wind. That can even speak to an old hard heart. That can dry our tears, can bring comfort and strength when we have no more. Jesus. He said, I know his name. They called him Jesus. And he made clay and anointed my eyes. Said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed. I received my sight. Oh. The works of God are being made manifest in his life. You want to see God at work? Introduce your friend to Jesus. God can work in their life. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. He has never seen him. He does not know what Jesus looks like. He said, I don't know. They brought him to the Pharisees. If you think your neighbors can't get, you know, get it, we'll take you to the Pharisees. We'll just take you on over to the law and order, and we'll get this straightened out. This really gets good because he just keeps on his track. He said, the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. He's testifying again. I love the song. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory. If you're not telling the story, you're missing what God has called us to do. He keeps telling the story. I don't know the man. I've never seen him. I've never seen Jesus. But by faith, I ask him to cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. I ask him to save me. to give me a place in heaven, to have me a home in eternity. I did that all on faith. I've never seen Him. But I believe that. And this man has never seen Him. And he said to the Pharisees, I don't know Him. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath. They called him a sinner. He's just a sinner. As they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews didn't believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called. Now, it's been really okay right till now. And guess who they call next? Parents. Have you ever been threatened by someone and they tell you, I'm going to call your mom and dad? No, don't raise your hand. I did. I got it. I've been there several times. I tried to be good. I didn't always make it, but I tried my best. But this particular time, I was sitting in front of the chief of police in our hometown. Now, this was not casual conversation. I was in a heap of trouble. And I begged Chief, his name was Dunaway. I said, Chief Dunaway, if you'll let me, my mom and dad's both dead, so that's why I'm telling you this story, because they can't come get me. I said, if you will let me go tonight, I'll never be back in your office again. Now, I had a courtesy ride and everything to his office. It was nice. And he looked at me, he talked to me. He was a big man. He said, Dennis, he knew my dad. That's why I knew when he said he's going to call my dad. I'm thinking, this is it. I'm gone. I don't know who to call, you know, funeral home or somebody. And he said, I'm going to let you go tonight. He said, if you ever come back. He said, that's it. And I never got back. I kept my word. I never went back to his office again. Never had another courtesy. Well, I had one more after that. It was okay too, but I got out of that one, so I decided I had to quit. Anyway, so he didn't call my dad. But you know, they're serious. I'm going to call your mom and dad. You're claiming to have been blind, and now some man came along and healed you, and you can see now. We're going to talk to your parents. We're just going to find out what he. So they went to the parents, and they said, "We don't know. We know that this is our son. We know that he was born he was blind from birth. But what is it? You know, they didn't know what had happened. They didn't know what had taken place. They said, but we don't know who opened his eyes. But they said he's of age, which is about 20 years old. I said, you go ask him and talk to him. You can go talk to him, because he's got another story to tell you, because he just keeps telling the story. The words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did not confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. If you confess that this is Jesus Christ, you're going to be put out of church. That's what they told him. So their parents would not entertain the question. Then they called him the man that was blind, and they said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and he said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. That's the third time he has testified of what Jesus had done in his life, because Jesus said, I'm going to heal him that the works of the Father would be made manifest in his life. And he's telling the story over and over again. And that's what you and I as a church, as a child of God, has been called to do. Tell our story over and over again. Nobody. Not the neighbor. Not the Pharisees. Not his parents. Had one word against his testimony. Our testimony is powerful. Our testimony is powerful in this world. Telling the world about Jesus one at a time. I love to tell the story. Will it be your theme in glory? Will it be your theme in glory? Telling the world about what Jesus has done in your life. how he's been there for you all the way. Listen, when we come to the man, he said, I don't know. I don't know every answer, you know, to all your questions. He said, but whereas I was blind, and now I see. They got some more questions. They always have a bunch of questions. Then they said to him again, what did he to thee? How he opened the eyes. He answered and said, I've told you already. So he told the story of what Jesus did in his life. And here's what happened at the end of the story. We not only have the urgency, the faith, but Jesus is not giving up on him. Since the world began, was it not heard that a man had opened the eyes of one that was born blind? This is the first time they've ever heard of this. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they'd cast him out and went and found him and said unto him, dost thou believe in the Son of God? And he said, who is the Lord? He said, that I might believe on him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen, and it is he that talketh with thee. And for the first time, he saw his Jesus. When you see Jesus for your first time, will it be a time of celebration or a time of departure? This man celebrated. The one that had healed him, he's now looking at him. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Telling the story. Introducing our friends to Jesus. Neighbors, total strangers. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Whatever our journey is. Telling the story. Testifying to the works of God. I encourage you today, as we depart, as we go our way today, that when you come upon that person, it's not about their sin. It's not about what they've done. It's about who you can introduce them to. And it's Jesus, the Son of God. Would you do that today? That's who we are as a church. That's who we are. As we stand right now, we have a song of invitation. I love to tell the story, 444. Would you stand as we sing?